Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
The Gladys Black Eagle Cam is now in operation. Why is it important, and what's it like to look down into an eagle nest? Let's go in depth with Marla Mertz, Marion County naturalist, Kay Newman with Saving Our Avian Resources, photographer Ron Holsey, Central College professor of biology Paul Wyhe, Central College biology student Riley Huntington, and eagle aficionados Asa and Johanna Leonard. Early this fall, I received a phone call from Marion County naturalist Marla Mertz. If I hurried, she said, I could climb into the boom of a Musco lighting truck, go 75 feet into the air, and look down into an eagle's nest. Was I interested? She asked. I was interested, and it wasn't long before I was at the undisclosed location of the Gladys Black Eagle Cam, and they were buckling me in.
Can't they just?
Yeah, they can't.
About 18.
You might want to pull your hat and your glasses off.
Pull my hat and my glasses off. Okay, I can do that.
Slip over top of your head.
All right, you don't want me to fall?
Don't want you to fall.
This far.
Unless when Frank comes. Then let me grab your lanyard here.
Yeah.
And I'll swing around this way.
There are skeletons up in there. Mm-hmm.
Hey Conrad.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm
good.
The research aspect.
One arm through there. Up over. Is that comfortable?
Yep. So what was the height?
68.
68 feet?
What was the 72 for?
The height was 72
for. Oh, 72 for.
72 for. Oh, Musco lighting. Everywhere, huh? It's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then they're. If it wasn't for them, this wouldn't be happening.
Something. I don't know what it's talking about.
We make it happen.
That's right.
You want them to take this? Yes, they need to take that.
What's that?
It's a wind meter. I'm going to hook you up right here.
All
right. If you need to move around or whatever, push the backsides and then just like that.
Okay.
That's
mine.
If you just try to push on that, it's not
hard hat.
Okay.
Come off. So
here's a home too.
That's on off. It's on right now. So.
And what?
If
what
you,
do you want me to
just
do?
Just hold it up. Hold it into the wind, and then it'll read what the wind speeds are. And
all
if
right.
we get if you get over 30, we probably need to come down.
All right.
Same spot.
Yep. We're just wanting to look in. That's it.
Well, Marla, this is pretty cool.
This is awesome.
We're going up in a boom to what, 70 feet high?
About 72 feet high, maybe a little higher to look into the bald eagle's nest.
And they're going to be installing the camera, have they already done?
They've already installed the cameras, and most of all the work has been done now. I just wanted to see what was on the interior of the nest after this last year's fledge of two birds, and see if there's anything that's really unique in the nest, and what an opportunity. We're not going to probably get an opportunity like this ever again.
This is pretty amazing, looking out over the lake, going up into an eagle's nest in a big, beautiful cottonwood tree at an undisclosed location.
Undisclosed location at this time, yes.
And it's a beautiful fall day.
Yes, it is.
Oh, look at that. Oh, look at that. That beautiful nest.
We're good.
These are fish bones. All I see are fish bones.
That's all I see too, I guess. I see a little bit of down.
A little down, some leaves, fish bones.
Not as big as I thought it would be, and the dish isn't near as in depth as what I assumed it would be. Of course, they fledged in July, so things have settled and rain and all of their grass lining and and there's even grass growing in the nest. But they've got some driftwood and some regular sticks from the cottonwood tree. I do see some corn stalks. Yay, Iowa eagles. They do utilize those corn stalks, and there's living proof, because we didn't have a hand in this one at all.
Yeah, corn stalks, and it's almost rectangular. It doesn't look like it from the ground, but it, I guess it takes the shape of the first blood. Oh, and there's the camera. And are those lights, or?
Actually, they have an infrared unit. The two main cameras, there's a camera set up and so that you can see at night, and then there's infrared for nighttime, and they're free moving. But there's actually a duplicate camera and infrared light in order to take its place just in case we have camera failure on one. So it's kind of a double do, but
wow, it's beautiful up here. See the creek coming down, draining into the lake. Cornfields. Beautiful fall colors, too.
Just beginning.
Yeah,
it's
just
such a windy day. Look at the combine. It really stands out today.
Oh, look at them all the way down there. Very cool. Well, thanks for inviting me.
It's awesome to be able to go up into a nest, but it's a very spiritual time, isn't it?
Yep. So when are they going to come back?
They'll be working on it all winter long. The eagles will be.
And the camera won't bother them?
We don't think so, and it hasn't bothered the Decora nest.
More in depth after this.
Shortly after the Eagle Cam was placed, a meeting was held at Central College celebrating the event. I asked attendees what they thought of the significance of the cam. I spoke with Ron Holsey, one of the individuals behind the cam, first.
A lot of people here today. Nice turnout.
Great turnout. We're extremely happy that we had a turnout like what we had so that we could discuss the intricacies of the Eagle Cam. We were very fortunate to have Dr. Putman come and give us the initial opening remarks. And I think that the sentiment of everybody here was naturally very committed, so that we're all very interested in eagles. We hope that the idea of time, talent, and financial will be a part of this continual project, which can last forever as long as we have people that are very willing to buy into it. Naturally, like I've talked before, we have to be very aware of this project here, because this is a Mother Nature project, and Mother Nature is unpredictable. But we're hoping that in this case here, where these are basically six-year-old adult parents, that the continual existence of the life of cycle will continue for many years.
And your team building now, it's time for people to get on board.
Oh, absolutely. We've talked to Mike Montgomery, and there has been six people in the Knoxville School District that have expressed the fact that they would like to be a part of this project. We can use teachers, we can use technical people. We have a lot of computer problems that come up, and Jacob Oyen can always use additional help. So all you have to do is give us a call, and we'll certainly find a home for you.
I asked Marla Mertz about the importance of the cam.
Nice turnout.
It was a very nice turnout for the debut.
And when do you think it's going to be up and running?
Actually, it's supposed to be up and running now. There just may not be a lot of activity occurring. You should be able to stream in. There's a few glitches here and there. But you can tap into the site. That was kind of the meaning of the debut, is to get that streaming. But probably in the next month or two, we might see some activity here and there if you just happen to capture it at the right time. But really, the main activity won't start until February, when you start seeing the birds really doing a lot of stick carrying and a lot of repair work and making the dish and the bowl ready to lay their eggs. And I'm not sure with this pair if they laid their eggs in late March or early April last year. The old older they get and the more established they get, they will start maybe laying eggs in March. So sometime within the last part of March, first part of April should be the egg laying time.
And you'll be checking it every day.
Be checking it every day, yes, and probably worrying about them every day and every night as well. That's one thing that's very difficult about having that on a monitor, to where you can watch them. You see things that you want to try and take care of, that you know, it's part of their everyday life, and it's just not something that connects with us as part of their everyday life, and we can't do anything about that. So life is life, and I think it will bring a lot of opportunity, a lot of life skills, a lot of education. It will answer a lot of questions, and it will also create new questions. So that's just part of the outdoor life and working with nature. Nobody knows everything, and they never will.
And people from all over the world will be watching, won't they?
Anybody can watch it from all over the world. It's really awesome. It is an amazing technological way, an avenue of becoming a part of their family. But it's overwhelming. It's beyond what realm I can comprehend.
More in depth after this. Kay Newman with SOAR to share her thoughts about the cam.
Kay, what do you think about the new Eagle Cam?
I think it's going to be fantastic. It'll be such a good educational tool. Brings people right up close and personal with eagles.
Tell us a little bit about SOAR, your organization.
SOAR does wildlife rehabilitation and education. And so at this point in time, and we're in west central Iowa, and we see about 150 wild birds each year for rehabilitation. We have 14 education birds, permanent birds, that we use for programs. And so we brought one of our eagles today for the grand opening of the Eagle Cam.
And have you ever rehabilitated any eagles from Lake Red Rock, the area?
Yes, we have. Yeah, and we've been able to bring a few back and release them here back where they came from. And so that's always the fun part of doing rehabilitation, is to be able to get them back out in the wild.
And you also do your best to educate about lead poisoning in our
Yes, and so that's something that we've been working on very diligently. Over half of all the eagles that we have come in for rehabilitation have abnormal lead levels, and it happens in the fall and the winter, mostly right during our hunting seasons, and so we have been working very hard to urge hunters to use non-toxic shot, copper slugs, copper rifle bullets, and to get away from the lead.
And this eagle had lead poisoning?
She did. She came in to us in March. She was very sick with lead poisoning. We actually did some chelation treatment for her, which is injections to help her body rid itself of the lead. The chemical will bind with lead and help her excrete it. But during that time, her brain had started to swell. That's a side effect from having lead in your system. And it did damage to her optic nerve, and her vision has been permanently damaged due to that, and so we are not able to release her back into the wild. She can't see well enough to be a wild eagle.
And so she's become a symbol of a problem in our environment.
Yes, she has.
Opportunity.
Yes, yes. And she's adjusted well, but it would be much better if she could be out in the wild. She's right at the age where she should be nesting and have a partner and be out there carrying sticks around. But that would be better.
Ace and Johanna Leonard share their thoughts about the cam.
What did you think about the presentation on the eagles?
It was really cool, and we got to see photos of the eagle.
And what about eagles interests you?
How they're at the top of the food chain, and they're a bird.
And what else about eagles interests you?
It has, like, no predator that wants to eat them, and that's pretty much all.
Okay, so what did you think of the presentation today?
It was interesting. I'd heard of lead poisoning before, but I didn't know that it could cause there could be any survivors from lead poisoning. And there were several other facts. Most of them I already knew, but it was interesting to hear them. And the live eagle that they had. Which the live eagle that they have here, it's really interesting. It's neat to be able to see one up close and actual, not just photos.
Central College Professor of Biology Paul Wyhee shared his thoughts.
Paul, what's the educational potential of this camera?
Well, potentially really large. If you can observe these animals over time, if you can get to know them intimately and get people curious about this, they're going to want to learn. Whether it's a four-year-old child or a retiree, there's something about birds and bald eagles in particular that just grabs people's attention. It just fascinates us.
I next spoke with Central Biology student Riley Huntington.
Riley, and you're a student at Central.
Yes, I am.
And what did you learn today? What excites you?
Oh, goodness gracious. The educational opportunities, definitely. Like Dr. Wyhee said, you know, the first thing that you need to do to get someone to conserve something is to make them love it. And what are you going to do to make someone love something? You're going to give them a hands-on experience with something, a personal experience, where you can look into the intimate life of something that's alive and say, I connect with you. I love you. I want to save you. And that's important. That's where everything begins.
And when the camera's up and going, you're going to spend some time there, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's Dr. Wyhee had gotten the invitation for this and had said the first name that came to mind when he got it was me, because I'm hoping to become a naturalist someday. And so the educational opportunities are off the charts, and that's why I'm here, and I definitely believe in it.
Thanks to Marla Mertz, Kay Newman, Ron Holsey, Paul Wyhee, Riley Huntington, and Ace and Johanna Leonard for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.